Already on the phone is author Juliet Fay. Her great new book, City of Flickering Light, comes out from Gallery on Tuesday, April 16th. She's born in Bingham, New York, moved to Massachusetts, got terrible television reception, so she's turned to books. She's done a lot of great stuff in her life. She's worked with kids. She's worked with underprivileged people, and so has her husband. And she's on the phone now. Hey, Juliet, how are you?
Hey, how are you, Mark?
I'm good. I'm very excited. I'm looking at your website, JulietFay.com, and among other things, It has all your tour dates, and you are going on Thursday, June 13th, to the Bacon Free Public Library in Natick, Mass. That is right down the street from where I grew up.
No kidding.
Yes.
Natick's a great town.
Yeah, I've been to that library many times growing up.
Beautiful
years and
old
years
building.
Ago. you could go visit my old family home.
Well, you can give me the address afterwards, and I'll cruise by there.
It literally is like 5 minutes from there. I was like, wow, look at these tour dates. You're doing a whole tour throughout New England, coming up for the book release starting in April and going all the way through September, you know, dates here and there throughout the summer.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's right. Yeah.
Do you like going out on tour and meeting all the people?
I really do. I really enjoy that. A lot of authors are tend to be a little bit introverted. You know, we like to, you know, sort of spend the days alone with our imaginary friends, and I really like that too. But I'm pretty outgoing, so I do love going out. And I have a great sort of slide presentation that I do with pictures from early Hollywood and that kind of thing. So I always say the pictures do the work for me. And it's really fun to talk to people about the book.
And most of these, you live in Massachusetts now, so are most of these stops drivable? You can drive there and then drive back home?
Yeah, most of them. I think there's a couple in New York that I'll definitely stay over, and down the Cape, Cape Cod, we call it down the Cape, as you know,
yeah.
Mark, if you're from Natick. So a couple of those I'll do a stay over, but not too, most of them are pretty close by, so that's great.
And do you, I know you have a bunch of kids. Do they ever go to these tour stops with you to see what's going on, or are they like, I can't be bothered?
Well, they're, you know, a little bit, I can't be bothered. You know, it's sort of the old, like, you know, oh, mom's got her book thing. You know, they don't see it as much of a big deal. They'll come to the launch, which is on April 3rd in Wayland, and that'll be fun. It'll be a big party. But other than that, I think they're kind of like, yeah, you go right ahead, Mom. We'll just do our own thing.
Yeah, we used to play Wayland, I believe, in baseball and football, the Natick Redmen.
Yes, my kids played on the Wayland teams. So,
your new book, City of Flickering Light, out April 16th. I love this book. It was so good. I couldn't put it down.
Oh, that's so nice. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
And earlier,
you know, early on in the process, before people have really started reading it, you're like, is this any good? You know, that kind of thing. So it's always nice to hear somebody early in the process say, yeah, I really enjoyed this. So I appreciate it.
In early reviews, Ann Ma, bestselling author of The Lost Finances, with humor, warmth, and an impeccable eye for historical detail, Juliet Fay has written a page-turning novel that's rated in its Hollywood setting. A city of flickering light brings to life the wicked glamour of 1920s Tinseltown. It's a story of friendship, love, and acceptance melts your heart. Teresa M. Fowler says, Fay paints a vivid picture of newborn Hollywood and the bonds of friendship that is big-hearted. Wise tale of three appealing misfits bound by a desire to thwart misfortune and achieve their dreams. Randy Susan Myers, author of The Widow of Wall Street, which was a great book.
Fay
spins the magic of Hollywood with the reality of 1920s show business, creating a captivating story of three courageous friends. It's a long review, but basically Randy
right.
liked it.
Randy liked it.
So let's talk about the book. As I just mentioned, it starts out in July of 1921. Flickers are all the rage, and Irene Van Beck has just declared her independence by jumping off a moving train to escape her fate in a traveling burlesque show. With her friends, dancer Millie and comedian Henry, they decide we're going to Hollywood. They don't have a lot of money, but they make it there. They escape the burlesque show, because back then, you didn't just quit those burlesque shows without permission. They come after you, and they want you back. So it's quite a beginning to the novel. It starts off fast, and it just keeps going from there. And these crazy kids make it out to Hollywood, and what they find isn't necessarily what they wanted, but they try and make it work. And It's a very interesting book. There's so much that happens in the book. I don't want to give too many spoilers, but let's just say
they all get seduced.
They all get in their own way. Henry gets in, starts out in the costume department, ends up becoming an actor. Irene ends up becoming a writer. And then poor Millie. I don't want to get too much into her story.
Don't get too much into that.
Yeah,
right.
She's the one that doesn't quite make it right away. And she has a downward spiral. Out there in the 1920s Hollywood, what was your research like? Because this seems like everything that I read in this book, it seems like that's probably how it was at the time. You know, the gossip, the drugs, the being in the closet if you're gay, the clubs, the casting couch, the things that women had to go through, the amount of money that they didn't make and that some of them did make. It's a very fascinating read.
Thank you. You know, the research was really fascinating. I spent some time in Hollywood, so going to some of those locations that are still there, spent time in the L.A. Public Library looking at old, you know, documents and newspapers of the time, read a lot about what sort of the scandals of the day were, and it was a wild time. And mostly what's so interesting about Hollywood in the early days is that, you know, movies weren't really taken very seriously until about the middle of the 1920s when sound was starting to come in. And so it was kind of this wild place where sort of the misfits of society, people that, I shouldn't say misfits, but people who couldn't get regular jobs, like women and immigrants and Jews, you know, because they were sort of shut out of normal employment, you know, they went to Hollywood and they were able to do all these amazing things because nobody was really paying too much attention. It wasn't a big money-making thing in the teens and early 20s. So you had women who were production, you know, producers and you had, you know, got, you know, people doing all kinds of things. Also, the rules, because no one was really paying too much attention, the rules of society in the, you know, early part of the 20th century, you know, they were just coming out of the Victorian age. You know, people were very concerned about propriety and that kind of thing. Hollywood, not so much. They, you know, it's prohibition. They can drink anywhere they want, basically. They all have ways to find booze. Societal issues like, you know, sort of who you're sleeping with is, you know, as long as you're discreet, the studios keep everything kind of hush-hush, and they can sort of live the lives, you know, live their lives with a lot of freedom that you really couldn't in the rest of America. So to sort of find this little encapsulated time when it was just wild and they were making movies, it was pre-code, you know, the code was when everything got very, you know, even a married couple couldn't be seen sleeping in the same bed, and everything had to be very, very sort of virtuous. Those movies back in the early 20s, they were pretty risque. Mm. So it was fun to watch silent movies and sort of see what they were up to and to sort of learn about how, you know, it was this real, you know, almost open society back then, which was very rare.
One of the things that fascinated me that I did not know about is there was an area where potential extra actors would wait all day long just hoping to be an extra. And the casting people would come out and be like, okay, maybe you. Okay, we're done for the day. But they would just sit there all day long hoping to be noticed for a quick extra scene.
Yeah, and sometimes they would wear their own costume. So it would be like, I'm a farmer. Do you need any, you know, are you doing any Westerns? Are you doing any, you know, or I'm a, you know, whatever, I'm a little old lady in widow's weeds. Do you have any roles for, you know, they would do anything to sort of get attention so that, you know, one of these casting directors would come through and be like, yep, you look good, you look good. Okay, the rest of you, you know, day's over. So it was, they, you know, and people would arrive, especially young women would arrive in Hollywood and get off the train and go straight to, you know, the studios and just hope. So that was part of the downside. The gritty side of Hollywood was that there were so many people who wanted to be extras, who wanted to get a toe in the door, that a lot of them couldn't make it. You know, much like now, it was a very low percentage of people that were able to make it in Hollywood. So a lot of them turned to sort of more nefarious things. There was a lot of drugs and prostitution. And so there was this very gritty side to Hollywood, you know, with the haves and have-nots.
And I think you cover pretty much all of it, like you just said, the gritty side. You cover that really well in here. You also cover the side about scandals, about the PR people at the studios having to say, you know, wait a minute, no, you two go to this together. You guys be a couple. Make it look like you're together, even if one or the other or both were gay or whatever. It's just, it was the 20s, and like you said, a lot of this stuff was not societally acceptable. And you cover it all great in this book, but at the heart of the book, it's about three people, Irene, Millie, and Henry, and their bonding friendship and what happens to them over the years, what Hollywood does or doesn't do to them, how they potentially get sucked into the life and how they end up, you know, after so many years of being there.
Right. Yeah. You know, it was interesting. I did a lot of reading. I did a lot, read a lot of biographies, sort of looked at a lot of stories about sort of the folks that came up, you know, Cary Grant and Clark Gable and Jean Harlow and Joan Crawford. What a story. She was, you know, she came from poverty and nothing and just sort of clawed her way up. And that's what it kind of took, somebody who was, it was very rare that somebody just got, quote unquote, discovered. Really, most of them had been working for years in little this is, you know, and that's just trying anything to get noticed. So sort of learning about their real lives. And I do, you know, Irene, Millie, and Henry are fictitious characters. But what I try to do with my historical fiction is sort of infuse the real things that were going on around the fiction. And Olympic Studios is a fictitious studio, but it's really based on a lot of the stories that were coming out of Paramount and Lasky, famous players Lasky and the big studios at the time. So it was interesting to learn about, you know, the real lives and then sort of, you know, so there are a few real people in it and there's some real scandals that were happening that, you know, in that day and age. The Fatty Arbuckle scandal was huge, you know, where he was accused of murder, and it turned out to be something that was completely trumped up. It was not his fault. This woman died when she was in his company, but it turns out that it really wasn't him, but people sort of conspired to make it be about him just to make money. And the poor man, you know, he had his movies banned. He had, you know, he went from being, he was making $1 million a year. Suddenly his movies were banned, even though he was exonerated. And so the way that these big stars could sort of, you know, the rise and fall were, you know, sometimes the fall of the stars was just as dramatic as their rise. So it was really fun to sort of mix some of that in with the fictional story of these three characters.
And people can follow you on Twitter at Juliet Fay, your website julietfay.com, on Facebook juliet.fay.author, and on your website you have all the events you're going to be doing throughout the New England area. You also talk about how you do book groups, how you'll Skype in and chat with people about your books, which is awesome. A lot of authors are doing that these days, and I think that's great.
It's actually really fun. I think most authors like doing it because you can talk about the whole book. You can talk about the ending.
Yeah.
You know, so that part is kind of fun.
And you can do it from home.
Yeah.
You don't have to go anywhere. So that's got all your information there. And so what, do you have are you working on your next book yet?
I am. I'm working on another book, and I sort of learned about this from my research doing the City of Flickering Light, and it's about the women who worked as waitresses on the railroad. In the Southwest, they were called Harvey Girls, and they had some very interesting lives. So that one is in the works, but right now we're focusing on the City of Flickering Light.
I've been reading a lot of historical fiction novels lately, and I love them because I'm learning stuff that I never knew about before. There's a couple that just came out, one about George Washington's first love before Martha Washington, and one about Abe Lincoln and him and his wife. It's historical fiction, but I think it's all based on a lot of fact, too. You just have to call it to cover your butt.
What's great about historical fiction is that I always say there's added nutritional value. You know, you're hopefully getting a great story, but then you get to learn all this interesting history, too, which I think is really kind of a fun way to learn it.
Well, a fun book to another one is your book again, City of Flickering Light, out April 16th from Gallery. Juliet, thank you very much for the time today. Good luck with everything. And when you go to South Natick, just yell hey to whoever and say, hey, from Mark.
Will do. Thank you so much,
all
Mark.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Take care.